The Tom Woods Show, episode 1639.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Well, I'd say now's a pretty good time to find out how to monetize a website. Get a few smackers coming in on the side that the jerks can't shut down on you. I made you an over-the-shoulder video showing you exactly how I do it, and you can watch it at tomwoods.com/monetize. Hey, everybody, Tom Woods here. I have said to you that not every episode is going to be about the blankety-blank virus, right? Because there are other topics in the world. We got to get back to normal at some point. But doggone it, that virus is on everybody's minds, including mine. So I just want you to know, tomorrow we will be talking to Michael Malice about what's going on in North Korea. But today, we're talking to Angela McArdle, who was on the show not too long ago. Remember, she chairs the Libertarian Party of Los Angeles County, and she is organizing a protest against the stay-at-home orders, and that will take place several days from now, namely May 1st, 2020. Of course, let's hope that's the only year we ever need to attach to this, at 1 p.m., and the details will be forthcoming, and we'll talk about where you can get those details in our conversation. Angela, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me.
How could I not, right? People are thinking about this issue, the virus and the protests. And much as I tell people, I'm going to try not to talk as much about the virus anymore because there are other topics in the world and we at least mentally have to get back to some kind of normal place. But doggone it, like a dog to its vomit, I keep on returning here. But in this case, we have a different angle because we're going to be talking about something I haven't really raised yet, which involves protests against the shutdowns. Now, first of all, start off by telling us, what is the most recent statement that the governor of California has made that would let you know what his intentions are? I mean, that is to say, in the coming months, what can you expect and what can you not expect living in California if he sticks to the timeline that he's outlined?
Oh, well, it doesn't look like the shutdown is going to be lifted anytime soon, according to Gavin Newsom. I've been paying a lot of attention to the mayor of Los Angeles because that's where I live, but it's not looking like Gavin Newsom has any plans to return us all back to normal. He's saying he's going to make a statement on the 28th. So that's 2 days.
Okay. So when people hear this, that'll be tomorrow. All right. But who knows? I mean, based on what we've heard so far, it's pretty grim.
Absolutely.
Sounds like to me.
So I live in Los Angeles. We were, until this started, I believe the 11th largest economy in the world. We're an economic powerhouse in spite of a lot of the really bad policies that we have in California. And Mayor Garcetti, who is basically a mouthpiece for the entire county at this point, on Thursday or Friday issued a statement that he was not going to be allowing people to participate in group sports for the foreseeable future. That doesn't just mean people in high school. We're talking about a huge chunk of our money that comes from people going and seeing professional sports. So that's out for the whole county. He also stated unequivocally that restaurants will not be opening up like normal anytime soon. He's going to have to open up a few other businesses because people need things like clothing and things that he's so graciously and importantly deemed non-essential right now. And what really disturbed me is that he said very clearly things will absolutely not go back to normal until there is a vaccine. So the city of Los Angeles, the whole county actually, it's not looking really good. Thankfully, not every county in the state is abiding by orders that strict, but that's sort of what I'm facing in my day-to-day life.
Okay. And of course, there might never be a vaccine. You can't guarantee that.
Right.
How can they guarantee that?
Right. And last night I had a really good conversation in person, I will admit, with my friend Tracy, who is a vet. And I was reminded that veterinarians actually deal with viruses every day a whole lot because it's a big deal in animal health. And I encourage people to reach out to veterinarians, get their opinions, ask. I know it's a vet, not a regular doctor, but these are the people who deal more with viruses than, say, just a regular general practitioner. She explained that she's been dealing with feline coronaviruses for a very long time and that vaccinations for coronaviruses in animals have not been successful. So I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm saying this is sort of an uphill battle and it doesn't look like there's been a lot of successful groundwork set. So trying to implement policy that will affect 11 million plus people based on something with a poor track record like this is probably not a great idea.
So talk to me then about what your protest is going to look like. Here's what I haven't been happy about with these protests is that they've turned into Trump rallies, which is such a mistake. Even if you like Trump, what a dumb thing. Why alienate people who are anti-Trump who might agree with you on this? And I'm in a Reopen Florida group on Facebook, and we have some left liberals in there who are shocked that other left liberals are taking the position they are. This obviously hurts the vulnerable the most. Like, what could you possibly be thinking? Obviously, there has to be a more targeted strategy than this. And so if you're waving around Trump flags, you're just driving these people off. Well, if I know Angela McArdle, she ain't bringing no Trump flag to this thing.
Absolutely not. And I have been working really aggressively in my neighborhood. I live in Northeast LA to get as many people who are progressive and on board to the rallies as possible. In 2018, I believe the vote for Hillary Clinton was 65% her supporters. That's just like in the, 2016 in the primaries. So that sort of gives you an idea of how my community votes and what their political ideology is like. So I have to reach out to them, right? And so I'm not doing a lot of outreach to Trump supporters. I'm certainly not trying to alienate them, but I have to get realistically my community on board. And what's been really fascinating is to see the outcry from undocumented people who are definitely supporting the protests, but are not able to necessarily attend in person because they are worried about getting picked up by ICE. They make up a huge chunk of the people who are supporting the protest and being affected by it and really want to get back to work in LA. So I am hoping and working really hard to make this a nonpartisan effort to get a lot of people who are apolitical and being impacted, who are on the left, who are centrist, who are conservative, but not, you know, foaming at the mouth Donald Trump supporters, to come out and make signs so that we sort of drown out the inevitable Trump 5G corona conspiracy crowd that is going to show up as well. I'm certainly not turning them away, and I'm trying very hard not to turn them off by saying this is nonpartisan and I really want everyone else to go. But I just want this to be a group effort that reflects the actual community in LA that's being impacted.
Now, what about the various recommendations that have been made to people about so-called social distancing and mask wearing? How does that impact the way your, if at all, your protest is going to be handled?
Well, in Los Angeles, we have some very dubious orders that have been issued, and I am having to work around those for the protest. So you're allowed to go outside without a mask in LA to exercise, to walk around the block, but you are not permitted to go where there are large gatherings of people, even though those are illegal. Okay, setting that aside. And you're not allowed to go to the grocery store unless you have a mask on. So what I'm doing is I'm encouraging everyone to bring a mask and to respect other people's requests to social distance. It's complicated. I can't enforce social distancing, and quite frankly, I don't want to on a personal level, but I also don't want us to look like a bunch of crazies who are literally trying to spread germs and there's going to be a Salon or Slate hit piece about how nuts we are. So I'm just trying to balance out what people really want, how they are feeling about it, and how we are going to come across to the media. Because we are going to have media there. I've already been interviewed by local news, and I'm going to be on their news program on Wednesday, just talking about this.
Well, what is it that you want?
I want people to come out and to behave as respectfully as possible.
What are your demands?
Oh, our demands? Sure, absolutely. Our demands for this protest is that the mayor of Los Angeles repeal as many of the orders as quickly as possible. We want to see people return to work. We want to see all of the fines and threats go away. The mayor of LA has got a snitch hotline and a form, a Google sheet. How classy is that? That you can go to and fill out online to report small businesses, and they're getting fined. And if they don't comply and they don't pay the fine the first time, then they're recommended to the city attorney's office for prosecution. So we want to see that go away right away. And we want to see the order that you have to wear a mask or you face a fine go away right away, because it's ridiculous. And there's also, someone raised to me some interesting issues the other day. There are people who have health issues like asthma who can't breathe very well in a mask. And what do you do if you get kicked out of a grocery store because you can't wear a mask? You're not legally supposed to have to disclose your health information, because that's actually a HIPAA violation. So there's a lot of stupid things that the government didn't think about and plan for with all of these orders. And it's probably making it a lot harder for people who do have health issues to go out and get groceries. Because I'm sure we've all experienced the wait times on Amazon Prime and Instacart. It's not realistic to assume that you can get everything delivered to your house anymore. It's very frustrating.
Well, I'm sure you've anticipated the kinds of pushback you'll get. And the most frequently voiced one that I've heard is that right now, things are still pretty hot with the virus. And if you go out and have unnecessary contact with other people, you could contract it and even unwittingly pass it on to somebody who is particularly vulnerable, in the sense that the disease that follows from the virus could well be fatal to that person. So this is just irresponsible. Nobody likes the lockdown, but stay in your home for a little while and let's watch the numbers get a little bit better and then we'll talk. I think that's what you're going to get.
Absolutely. That's what I'm going to get. That's what I've been getting from people on social media, from a local reporter, from anyone and everyone who has a differing opinion on this. And there are a few reasons that protesting in public is essential before we even get into the, you know, virology nonsense. Not that it's all nonsense, but some of it is starting to look that way at this point. Protesting in public is necessary to gain media attention. That's why the media reached out to me. I didn't even have to send out a press release or anything yet. Protesting in public is what grabs people's attention and makes them pay attention to what you're doing. It is also necessary to push the Overton window in the direction of freedom, because if we don't go out there and make these demands publicly, we're likely not going to even see them inch closer to what we want, even in a small incremental way. And we also need to publicly make the statement to let other people know that they're not alone if they're feeling the same way. Because of all of this, the social distancing policies and the isolation, there are a lot of people who are feeling really cut off, especially if their own social media echo chamber doesn't agree with them. So this is really signaling to the Los Angeles community and the rest of the world that there's a large group of people who are fed up and they're done with it. Now, with respect to getting people sick, I mean, how does quarantine work? You stay at home and you self-quarantine as much as possible if you believe you're at risk or you have other friends and family at risk. I can't think of a time in recent history where healthy people have been quarantined because they could potentially pass it to someone else. I can't think of anything. If someone else knows, you know, feel free to enlighten me.
But you know the argument there. It's that We still don't know that much about it. It seems to spread pretty quickly and easily. You could be asymptomatic and accidentally spread it. So we can't just protect the elderly, because somebody has to watch them, and those people have to go to the grocery store, and then they're going to catch it from you. And that's the kind of approach they're taking.
Right.
So therefore, everybody has to be under house arrest more or less indefinitely. We can't really tell you when we'll let things go back to normal. Maybe when there's a vaccine, we'll let you live your lives again. But until then, the oldsters got to do all these wonderful things growing up, dance lessons and performing in front of an audience and going to so-called large gatherings. But you aren't going to have that chance. And that doesn't really matter, because, you know, whatever. I mean, that's the approach They seem to be taking.
Yeah. And if you look at all of the data right now, and I'm sure that everyone has just absolute fatigue from looking at data and studies every day, it seems to be all over the map. If you look at the spikes and decline of the virus in Louisiana, it's really difficult to correlate it with anything. Same goes for several other states. And as we see more antibody tests come out, which is great, I'm really glad that those are coming out, we're finding that a lot more people have been exposed and maybe had this virus than we thought before. And most of those people have been asymptomatic or are attributing, oh, that must have been that little cold I had a month ago. And I think that that's something we need to take into consideration, that yeah, it's absolutely tragic when anyone dies of a virus, of the flu, of a car accident, of whatever. But the rate at which this is spreading, and I believe the reproduction rate is allegedly 5.7, which is much higher, allegedly, than the flu or something else, it's not really taking into account the fact that a lot of the people who are catching it are not having any symptoms at all. So we're asking people to self-quarantine, even though they're perfectly healthy and they could hypothetically pass on this disease. But the people that they could hypothetically be passing it on to aren't even going to get sick. And then, oh boy, when we look at the people who have died from it, it appears that almost all of them are from the elderly population or people who have what's known as comorbidities, people who were already very sick to begin with. So there's just so many factors right now that are playing into this. And I don't think that all of these factors that are playing into it are compelling reasons to stay home. It doesn't really look like the data is going to be in favor of keeping healthy people locked down.
It's true. And yet, if they were to concede that, they would have to concede a lot that they don't want to concede.
Right.
That a lot of this was not based on, quote, the science, which if I never hear the words the science again, it'll be too soon for me.
Oh,
because yeah. They act like the science is some just dispassionate, ideologically neutral bunch of numbers out there with no theoretical apparatus. And you just have to go stare at it. And if you stare at it long enough, conclusions will jump out at you. It's crazy. And it's also part of this superstitious reverence we're supposed to have for, quote, the experts. And as I keep saying, look, there's no class you take when you major in epidemiology, if that is a major. There's no class you take that says, well, if you shut a society down, here are some of the offsetting considerations that might be secondary results of that. And here we see problems that arise connected to food supply chains, and here we see this, and here we see mental health problems. There's no class they take that teaches them that. But we're treating them as if they did take that class. That, well, just shut up and listen to the experts. I get that all the time. The experts can tell us about their particular area, but they have no bird's eye overview of the whole situation. Nobody does. That's why we all have to talk about it together. What is so hard about that?
Right. It's because, well, and this is something that I keep trying to politely address, if that's possible, with other libertarians who are really championing this lockdown, which I found to be a little bit shocking, but it's been an interesting reveal, is that a lot of these scientists that people are selectively choosing to listen to are government employees. They're paid by the government, and it's quite possible that they have an agenda that is not just about keeping people safe. And there is no scientific consensus on what should be done. Because like you said, people have different backgrounds. They come from all over. They're not particularly experts in how do we manage the economy and keeping the entire world safe during the novel coronavirus outbreak. That doesn't exist. No one has gone to school to learn that. And we see different countries like Sweden, Taiwan, and Singapore handling things differently and having different and maybe better outcomes. And it's all changing day to day. If you go and you Google the infection rates for your city, your state, whatever, it's different. It's just like, it's been impossible to predict how this is going to go. And so now we're seeing again a failure of central planning as they try to predict something that is just ultimately unpredictable. There is no expert, there is no path to figuring out exactly what we should do.
Yeah, when it's all over and then they really, really go back and dispassionately study the various experiences around the world, I think they're probably going to find that nothing correlates with anything.
Right.
It's not this cartoonish world where they all stayed in their houses and lived like vegetables and then everything got better. I don't think that's the case. And I think some of the reason, now look, I could be proven wrong and this could be like the most embarrassing snippet in the world.
Sure.
But, you know, look, who cares, right? Who even cares? But I think part of the reason they're so upset at states like Georgia that are starting to open up is the same reason they're upset at Sweden. Not because somebody in New Zealand gives two you-know-whats about people in Sweden. It's that they, the last thing in the world they want is a control group where we can say, okay, maybe they didn't do the best out of everybody in the world, but they were far from the worst. And, you know, places that were much worse did much crazier things. They don't want that. So likewise for Georgia, they do, what the last thing they want is for things to go fairly well in Georgia. And people in other states saying, well, why does Georgia get to have all the fun? Why can't we reopen? And by the way, even Georgia, they've made it difficult because although the governor wants to reopen more or less, the health department, it seems to me is what's going on, is they're undermining him at every turn. So they've got these requirements for restaurants about how many people can be there and how many staff you need and what equipment you need to run a stylist, you know, a salon. And the equipment's all back ordered, or if I were to reopen my restaurant with this number of people, there's no way I could make it profitable, so I have to keep offering a takeout. So they are, but nevertheless, there are some that will open, and I feel like, now another thing, I know I'm rambling here, but I'll get back to you, but the last thing I want to say regarding the idea of a protest, the other thing you have to remember is, I think it was my own governor in Florida here, I think, but it was some governor recently who, when defending his delay in lifting restrictions, gave as one of his reasons, well, I don't see any protests. I don't see anybody protesting. Well, okay, well then, I guess you'll have to. I guess we'll have to protest then, if that's a metric he's using.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so essential to go out and let people know that this is not working out and that you're angry and being hurt, especially in California, where so many of our people are just really caught up in nanny state ideology. It has been shocking to me to see how many people just want to push aside data and studies. They're not willing to question anything. They're just going to worship their own experts and go along with whatever the government tells them. This is honestly, it's just an unprecedented power grab. I think that the powers that the government is going to walk away from with this and the regulatory burdens that they're going to put on everyone after this are going to be worse than what we've seen in wartime. I think this is probably going to, you know, it's going to rival the Patriot Act. It's going to affect so many more people, probably on a very personal level, people who are not involved in law enforcement or quote unquote terrorism, than even the Patriot Act has. It's really horrifying.
Another thing I've seen on Twitter because of Alex Berenson, who ran a poll on this, is people expressing their willingness to relocate to other states in the wake of this. Now, so far, we don't exactly know which states will be the best and will they really stick with letting people, you know, discontinue living like vegetables.
Right.
But you can have a sense of where that might be. And I think that would be interesting to watch. That's a super unscientific poll. I know that. But nevertheless, it's 9,000 people, and one out of five of them said that by June 1st, they want to be out of whatever state they're in.
Right.
And I think it would be nice to see, a governor wouldn't even have to put it this way. It would just be implicit that you might think about opening your business in my state where I'm going to arbitrarily shut you down much less frequently than that guy will arbitrarily shut you down. That's the selling point.
Oh, yeah. I have already thought about moving my business from LA County to Orange County. And oh boy, does it enrage me because all of the criticism I get for living in LA as a libertarian, granted, we have a wonderful liberty community, you know, but our government is horrifying. But for all of the criticism, I always scream, I'm going down with the ship. It's my job to stay and fight. It's my job to stay and fight. And now I'm wondering, do I need to move closer to the border of another county like San Bernardino or Orange County because they're not acting as insane? They're not actively enforcing the orders. They're trying to let people live their lives as normally as possible. It is really disconcerting. And I do think that we're going to see even more people flee California because of not just this, but also the economic impact of it. I mean, they went from fairly successful to destitute in about 6 weeks. That's a horrifying precedent.
Yeah. Yeah. And then things that seem trivial to a lot of people, but aren't, would be that in other states, you're going to see kids playing Little League again.
Right.
But not in your state.
Oh, right.
And you'll see innocent pleasures being enjoyed pleasures that have absolutely zero chance of spreading the virus, as everyone perfectly well knows. I mean, there's a drive-in theater within driving distance of me that has closed.
Yep.
Because of everything non-essential has to close. You can't even give us that mild diversion that is obviously harmless. It is a drive-in theater.
Yep.
But the point is, I think you'll start to see that this is one of these cases where federalism, you really are, even people who aren't as big of a fan of it as I am, will see the merits of it. And you also understand, you see why world government is such a bad idea? You know, because at least here, most politicians are crazy, but at least there's a little competition. At least you can compare, you can look at different jurisdictions. I mean, sometimes when I talk to objectivists, the idea of federalism is like, well, that's not rational. We should have a limited government, but it should be rational. Like, we have one power source and anything else is like slavery. And what, like, you can't, they're very good on some things and they're absolutely hopeless on others. And what they would basically wind up with is a world government that would be ruled over by some reasonable person, supposedly. Okay, what if the person's not reasonable? You have nowhere to go. What, are you going to go to Mars? We have nowhere to, and by the way, which is seeming more attractive, by the way, every single day.
Absolutely. We are going to see federalism become, well, we're already seeing it be a hot topic, right? Because now we have this really interesting standoff between some tyrannical governors and the president, which is wild because, you know, out of the other side of his mouth, President Donald Trump made, you know, an off-the-cuff comment saying that he had total authority over us. Okay. So now the governors are saying, oh, no, you don't. We want to keep it locked down and we have the right to stay locked down. So it's fascinating to see how this is playing out. And now we're seeing progressives champion states' rights and nanny state people say, we have states' rights. When I ran for Congress in 2017, they were telling me, oh, Angela, you shouldn't put states' rights on your platform. We're pro open borders and, you know, we hate Donald Trump, but we still don't want to use states' rights. So I guess this is what it took, bad intentions to use states' rights.
I did an episode on that recently. I'll link to it on the show notes page, tomwoods.com/1639. I did an episode on the actual use of the 10th Amendment, reference to the 10th Amendment by several of these governors to justify their position. Isn't it interesting that somebody could simultaneously hold in his mind that Trump has the authority to lock the country down, refuses to do it, but he does not have the authority to open the country back up, when that would just seem to be the other side of the same coin?
Yeah, I am seeing a lot of irrational argumentation and behavior in this. People are, I believe, blinded by emotion and, you know, their own personal agenda and not thinking clearly. But states' rights is going to come into the conversation wherever it suits them, I suppose.
Now, this protest of yours is coming up very soon. It's May 1st?
Yes. May 1st, 1 p.m. in downtown Los Angeles. It's going to be near City Hall. I am going to be releasing the physical location either Monday night or Tuesday morning. I haven't released it yet because I have been feeling it out to see how other protests in Los Angeles have gone, whether the police broke them up, how aggressive they're being on making sure that people stay literally on public property. Some of the areas in the downtown Los Angeles, it's debatable as to whether or not it's public property or it's privately owned by our government, if you can wrap your head around that.
Okay. So what time is this going to start?
1 p.m. downtown LA near City Hall.
Okay. And how can people get those details when they're made available?
You can go to my social media. I am on Facebook, Angela McArdle. You can follow me on Twitter at Angela for Congress. And it will definitely be posted on my personal website, angelamcardle.com. In addition, I'm going to have instructions on how to get through the protest as safely as possible. I'll remind people to bring a mask because we don't want you to be ticketed. I will have instructions on things to put on your signs, hashtags, shade, temperature advisories, sunscreen, and things of that nature. There's a lot to go down when you're organizing a large protest. So I want people to pay attention to all these details so it goes as well as possible.
Okay, fair enough. So I'm going to link to that stuff, your social media and your website. That'll be up also at tomwoods.com/1639. Well, I hope you have a successful event that is uneventful in the best way and that does convey something of importance to people who need to hear it. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And I just want everyone who's on the fence to remember that millions of people in this country do not feel safe right now because they've lost their jobs or small businesses and they're facing financial ruin. The phrase stay home, stay safe doesn't fit every situation.
All right, folks, before we go, obviously a lot of us are watching a heck of a lot more TV and more movies than we normally would. So this is actually a good time to tell you that there is a Tom Woods listener who is an excellent movie and TV reviewer with some very, very good and compelling commentary. And it's not about, is this TV show a libertarian TV show? I am so sick and tired of that. I don't even care. I just want to watch TV. You know, leave me alone. So he has a nice new site called TheReeling.com. The Reeling, meaning R-E-E-L-I-N-G, reel, like a film reel, TheReeling.com. And you'll like it. He's got recommendations that will see you through, and he's got commentary that I think you'll appreciate. And he listens to this podcast, just as you do. So check that out at TheReeling.com. I'll link to it at TomWoods.com/1639, our show notes page for today. And one of the projects you can be working on while you're stuck at home is starting that website or blog that you've been meaning to start. And if you make sure and get your web hosting through my link, then you'll get publicity from me for it, as well as membership in my bloggers group, where you will get lots of tips and help and support, and some free tutorials as another bonus. I got a lot of bonuses for you. All you got to do is get your hosting through my link, and you get a great price there when you do that. So the details for how to do all this can be found at TomWoods.com/publicity. Michael Malice here tomorrow. Talk to you then.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at Podsworth.com.